Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts, also known as the Word is the Way to Life podcast. We are also continuing on with Psalms as we're looking at Psalm 51 through 100. Now we are up to Psalm 69, also a long psalm, so bear with me as I read it. And the message for the choir director about this psalm, it says it's to be sung to the tune Lilies. I'm not sure of that tune, but maybe some of you do. But most of these psalms were meant to be sung, and they were sung. Hear God's word, Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold to stand on. I'm in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me. I'm exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched and dry. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. Those who hate me without cause are more numerous than the hairs on my head. These enemies who seek to destroy me are doing so without cause. They attack me with lies, demanding that I give back what I didn't steal. Oh God, you know how foolish I am. My sins cannot be hidden from you. Do not let those who trust in you stumble because of me. O Sovereign Lord Almighty, don't let me cause them to be humiliated. O God of Israel, for I am mocked and shamed for your sake. Humiliation is written all over my face. Even my own brothers pretend they don't know me. They treat me like a stranger. Passion for your house burns within me. So those who insult you are also insulting me. When I weep and fast before the Lord, they scoff at me. When I dress in sackcloth to show sorrow, they make fun of me. I am the favorite topic of the town gossip, and all the drunkards sing about me. But I keep right on praying to you, Lord, hoping this is the time you will show me your favor. In your unfailing love, O God, answer my prayers with your sure salvation. Pull me out of the mud. Don't let me sink deeper. Rescue me from those who hate me and pull me up from these depth waters. Don't let the floods overwhelm me or the deep waters swallow me or the pit of death devour me. Answer my prayers, O Lord, for your unfailing love is wonderful. Turn and take care of me, for your mercy is so plentiful. Don't hide from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in deep trouble. Come and rescue me. Free me from all my enemies. You know the insults I endure, the humiliation and disgrace. You have seen all my enemies and know what they have said. Their insults have broken my heart, and I am in despair. If only one person would show some pity, if only one would turn and comfort me, but instead they give me poison for food. They offer me sour wine to satisfy my thirst. Let the bountiful table set before them become a snare, and let their security become a trap. Let their eyes go blind so they cannot see, and let their bodies grow weaker and weaker. Pour out your fury on them. Consume them with your burning anger. May their homes become desolate and their tents be deserted. To those who have punished, they add insult to injury. They scoff at the pain of those you have hurt. Pile up their sins high and don't let them go free. Erase their names from the book of life. Don't let them be counted among the righteous. I am suffering in pain. Rescue me, O God, by your saving power. Then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving. For this will please the Lord more than sacrificing an ox or presenting a bull with its horns and hooves. The humble will see their God at work and be glad. Let all who seek God's help live in joy, for the Lord hears the cries of his needy ones. He does not despise his people who are oppressed. Praise him, O heaven and earth, the seas and all that move in them, for God will save Jerusalem and rebuild the towns of Judah. His people will live there and take possession of the land. The descendants of those who obey him will inherit the land, and those who love him will live there in safety. Wow. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of Psalm 69. And thank you for letting me read it to you, but I encourage you to take your own Bible, whatever translation you're comfortable with, and read Psalm 69. Now, I regularly like to thank God. I thank God for family and friends. I am so blessed to be a pastor and be part of God's family and our physical family. But these are people who love me and to whom I can turn in times of need. But imagine having no one to turn to you in your distress. How would you feel? Where would you go if everyone who once supported you now rejected you? I think the only person that you can turn to is God. And that's what David expresses in Psalm 69. He was pouring out his heart because he had nobody else to talk to except God. And we know that God listens. But why was David suffering? I think, once again, we're not really given the details of David's situation. And I think this might be deliberate because the Psalms have been written and collected to provide a model for believers on how to relate to God. So how is David feeling? I think he is overwhelmed. He feels like a man who is drowning and can barely keep his head above the water. His troubles are like floods that engulf me, he says in verse 2. And he challenges all of the things that are going on around him, and he presents them to God. What does David do? David brings his complaint right there to God. There's two parts of his complaint. First, he had been hated without reason, according to him. And I think all of us can reflect to that on some of the things maybe in our life. And I didn't know too many people hate me, but I know there are some. And they hate me without reason, I think. But maybe they do have a good reason. I don't know. But throughout history, the church has faced intense persecution for no other reason than her devotion to Jesus Christ. God manifested in the flesh. Similarly, I think in schools and university and workplaces across the world today, Christians face prejudice and abuse simply because they love their Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's exactly some of the challenges that we see with our brother Charlie Kirk, who has now been assassinated and home with the Lord. But as you look at some of his ministries and the things that he was teaching the people of how they responded, most of them responded good, but some of them, they really hated him. I got a text today from a fellow that just don't understand why we're thinking highly of Charlie Kirk, because he was an evil person, and I don't know where I want to go there. But anyhow, let's get back to David. I think the second part of David's complaint is that he had been rejected by those closest to him. And now he turns to people who were his friends for support, but he receives mockery instead. David's parallels to this is asking for food and drink, but being given gall and vinegar instead. The gall was a bitter herb that may have been poisonous or had a narcotic effect. Vinegar intensifies your thirst rather than quenching it. If you remember, they gave that same mixture to Jesus when he was on the cross. Well, faced with abuse from his enemies and cold-hearted rejection by his friends and family, I don't think it's surprising that David is worn out, calling for help. Help me, O God, help me, Holy Ghost, as Bishop Henderson used to say. I think he's emotionally exhausted. And David pleads with the Lord, answer me quickly. Now, Psalm 69 does tell the story of righteous man, unjustly persecuted and rejected by the people he loved. I don't think it's surprising that this is one of the most quoted Psalms in the New Testament because it points forward to Christ. Jesus quoted verse 4 when he spoke about the hatred of the world towards himself and his disciples. John 15:18-25. John quoted verse 9 to show that Jesus fulfilled the verse when he cleansed the temple. John chapter 2 verse 17. And then Dr. Luke quoted verse 25 to show that the apostles saw the death of Judas as a fulfillment of that verse. Acts chapter 1 verse 20. The Apostle Paul applied verses 22 and 23 to Jews who hardened their hearts and didn't respond to God through Christ. You can find that in Romans chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul also quoted verse 9 to encourage us to follow the examples of Jesus, who pleased others and not himself. Romans 5, verse 3. So I think all of us can think of things in our life when we felt like we were drowning and overwhelmed by troubles. And I think if you read Psalm 69, it'll provide you with a model for a prayer in a time of that. Well, many people suffer the rejection of their family because of their faith in Christ. That's unfortunate, but we know there are a lot, and it's been all throughout history. But this is the challenge for us. How can we, you and I, Christ followers, support our brothers and sisters in this situation where they feel rejection? Well, the gospel, I think, is the key to all of it. And sometimes we just take it for granted and not share the gospel with people. I think that's what Charlie Kirk was doing, and he was sharing the gospel, and he was also trying to help them through some other things that they might have been dealing with. But, you know, it says that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Wow, what a wonderful promised blessing to know that we can have eternal life. Yeah, Jesus said in this world you're going to have trials and tribulation, but he also said, fear not, for I've overcome the world. And I always think about this, and you've heard me say this many times. You know, when you join man's army, they give you 6 to 8 weeks worth of basic training, and they kick you out, and you're pretty much on your own from the rest of the time. But, you know, I like the buts and the ifs. When you join the Lord's army, you are in basic training till he either comes for us or we go home to be with him. You can find that in that little book of Jude. Only one chapter, 26 verses, I think, that we are then trained to return with Christ to set up his kingdom here on earth. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And so that's why we're in training and all these things that we deal with. And then we become overcomers. The whole book of Revelation is about being an overcomer. And then whenever you overcome the challenges of sin because of Christ's love, grace, and forgiveness, then you become an overcomer and for the challenges of this world, and you look forward to the time of eternity. Well, I hope and pray that you're having a good day. I hope and pray that things are going well in your life and as we go this journey together, because it is a journey, not a sprint. So be blessed and encouraged in Jesus' name.